T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is a victory Monday.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's
Stop
always.
Teasing.
Listen, we're winners.
Okay.
We're not going to be dragged down by some football team. We learned that years ago.
That doesn't matter.
It's been a lot of years, so it's always a victory Monday. That's how we roll. And unfortunately, the Bears can't be included in our list of heroes.
So we heard from Mitch Trubisky. He threw the interception in the end zone. That's you can't right. have that. You look at his numbers, Mully, and they're 22 for 31, 316, three touchdowns, one interception. Passer rating really is eye-popping, 122.5. You look at that if he didn't watch the game. And you're like, wow.
What a great game.
Mitch Trubisky followed up his 6-touchdown performance with 3 more touchdowns and all that yardage. And look at that passer rating. He must have had a terrific afternoon. And in fairness, there were high moments. But what was your takeaway with Mitch Trubisky?
I think it's quarterback development. I think he left a lot of plays on the field. I think he left as much as he did. You know, he wasn't ready to start the game. And he left a lot on the field in the first half, and I felt like he came around and had a much better second half. But that was a terrible interception. And it's interesting, David. Had they not thrown the flag on the I believe it was Trey Burton on a pick play,
touchdown pass to Tariq Cohen. They ran a nice little pick play.
Yeah, we wouldn't be talking about the pick. But you can't throw that ball. You can't turn the ball over there. That was a real mistake.
Early in the fourth quarter, it was 21-13. If the Bears score, it's 28-13, and you feel like, okay, with that defense, one-dimensional offense, you figure that's going to be the Bears' game to win, right?
Yeah.
They could not have lost that.
No.
But there was frustration on the Bears' sideline. They felt like that was a call that they should not have made.
You know, we should talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Because I think there were a couple of calls that were really went against the Bears that were costly, but that was obviously the most
That was the worst one. That was the one that got Matt Nagy upset after the game.
I went back and watched it several times, okay? I got to tell you, that is an illegal play. I know that they don't call it and it's run all the time. But here's the difference. If he turns around, if Trey Burton turns around and acts like he's trying to catch a pass, then that's the deceptive element of the pick play that was missing. Instead, he like ran into the guy and shoved him. You just can't do that in front of an official.
Well, you know what?
You're going to risk the penalty.
It's like holding, though. You could call that every time it happens.
I get it, but it's
most
still...
Most times they don't call it.
But whether they call it regularly or not, by the definition of the rule, that was an illegal play.
I agree with that. But
so
I also think...
It's hard to say. You know, listen, Danny Trevathan committed an assault.
He tackled. He tripped the guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He literally, as he was falling, he purposely slapped his leg and tripped him. And the crowd, which was very pro-Bear, but the crowd was kind of like, hey, what the hell was that? That was, they missed calls.
Yes. So that one call wasn't the reason the Bears lost the game. Let's get back to Trubisky. So he gets an opportunity after that play to come back and do something else. And, you know, it's first and goal from the 13 now. And he stares down. He never saw T.J. McDonald in the end zone. He never saw him.
Bad play.
That's what you can't.
Okay, when you start talking about Brock Osweiler, right? He threw a pick at the end of the half where they were trying to get in position to kick a field goal. It was a nice play by Kyle Fuller, but it was effectively a punt. Okay, it was the end of the half. It was effectively a punt, which again, you know, you want to get in position to kick a field. His second turnover when he threw an interception and Fuller is going the other way and now the Bears end up scoring off that. That's a totally different situation.
That was great anticipation by Fuller.
Right.
He broke on the route before it left Osweiler's hands.
Terrible throw.
Terrible throw. Terrible decision.
Quarterback. Can't believe you lost that guy.
So both quarterbacks made their share of mistakes, but I looked at Trubisky's first half and I thought, oh my goodness, he took a step backward. I looked at the second half and I thought, oh boy, that's where he should be. So there's a lot. It was uneven. And yeah, it was what you expect from a young quarterback. Yes.
We didn't see him as good as he was the week before, 2 weeks before, I guess, because of the bye week. But we did see him come out slow. So he apparently wasn't ready to start the game. And then he caught fire, and he was good. Then he makes a bad pick, and then his coach no longer trusts him in overtime. I mean, maybe I'm pushing it by saying that.
Let me ask you this.
But that's where you're at with Mitch.
It sounds
right
like
now.
Cause effect, but I don't disagree with that. Also, he got lucky by one throw. He just threw up for grabs, threw across his body, and the Dolphins defensive back did not come down with it. The ball floated for a long time.
Was that the one? To Tariq Cohen near the end zone, where the ball was up in the air?
Yeah, the ball was up in the air forever. Yeah. In fairness, you watch Mahomes, and I'm not making the comparison, I guess I am, but Mahomes did that last night and got away with one, too. Threw off his back foot in a blitz. And, you know, this is going to be what young quarterbacks
quarterback
do.
Development, yeah.
A little too much feast or famine with Trubisky. That's what I think. The numbers are very good and impressive for a second week in a row, but I think you'd like to see a little bit more consistency, especially early.
312-644-6767. Let's try Pat. We'll start with Pat. He's on the road. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Pat.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have to agree with when you came into this segment with everything Trubisky said. He's got his head in the game. He made some mistakes. There were some things that could have gone either way. My thing is, I've noticed that last preseason game, these guys were celebrating before the half was even done, first half. They got to stop celebrating before that game is over. They're on the sidelines, happy. They won. You don't stop fighting until the end of the game.
I didn't see that. Did you mean like before halftime? Because at halftime they were down 7-0.
But you see this when they go up. I've noticed this since that last postseason game or preseason game. I've noticed that when they think they got it in the bag, they start celebrating. You just can't do that.
Okay.
I didn't see that. I don't know where that came from, Matt. Let's try Matt. Matt is in River North. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, fellas. I think there's two things to me that stood out. I know Khalil Mack got hurt yesterday, and he tried to play, but he wasn't himself.
Right.
And that killed your pass rush. And two, overtime. If they give the ball to Jordan Howard two more times, they win the game. How can you give the ball to Benny Cunningham? I threw my remote.
Well, Howard had two big runs, and then apparently he needed to take a break. He was overheated, and he was drinking water on the sideline, and they brought him back for that third down play.
I didn't have a big problem with that as much as I did with running three straight times on first and 10 after those two big runs, and you were in a position to do something creative, move the ball into a better position for a field goal, and they got too conservative.
312-644-6767. This segment of the Mullion Haw Show brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah, and I think that the conservatism is one thing, but just to close the idea on Trubisky, he impressed me with the way that the intangibles yesterday too. I guess I liked the, everyone talks about a quarterback being a leader. He definitely is an emotional guy. He's a little bit more fiery than I maybe have seen in the past. So I like that part of his game. But overall, finding Taylor Gabriel the two times that he did, that's a weapon
Taylor Gabriel continues to emerge. Catch in that game that was a circus catch. That was fantastic. That one down the sideline to stay, he's a little guy. And to stay with that ball as he's falling, and that was a hell of a
You surprised
catch.
He's as good as he's been?
I'm very surprised, and I'm a little bit, I don't know if I want to say perturbed, but I'm a little bit I'm a little bit surprised that Allen Robinson isn't a bigger part of this thing. Is that a crazy idea?
But he got some really key pass interference calls yesterday.
Yeah, I know, but
he didn't have a bad day, but you thought he's more of a focal point?
I thought he would be their leading receiver.
Who's Mitch's favorite target?
Taylor Gabriel.
You have to say that right now,
You would right now?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Who's the biggest weapon in the Bears offense?
Probably Tariq
Cohen. Carlos Santos.
Tariq Cohen. Unbelievable game yesterday.
Yeah, and he pretty much split snaps
and a
with
a huge fumble.
Jordan Howard and a big fumble.
Yeah.
That was a regrettable one.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to all of your phone calls. We're going to talk about this wonderful victory Monday, minus the victory. It is Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Matt Nagy. That's the play caller for the Chiefs losing playoff game last year. And
ouch.
He tapped into that this week.
That inner conservatism?
He kind of fell apart a little bit as a play caller. I don't think it was because Kelsey went down. Maybe it was because, there's a thousand different reasons.
Here's a contrast, Molly, I think, in coaching.
Maybe he was doing a national bow or something. Too busy getting his accolades. Got fat on fun.
You lose a game like that, you expose yourself
ready.
To this. Look, okay, so the Bears go scoreless at halftime, into the halftime. They make the adjustments. They come out, and they score 21 points in the third quarter, okay? That's good coaching, okay? Let's be fair. That's good coaching because last year—
It was a big play on defense in that.
I know.
I'm just saying. I'm not arguing.
But there are 21 points in the third quarter. Last year—
They deferred and then scored.
The Bears were really bad when in the scoring in the third quarter. They were like fourth worst in the league, or they only scored in four games last year in the third quarter. So scoring 21 points, three touchdowns, and pretty good. So balanced.
But here's the problem. Matt Nagy's the coach of the entire team, and they give up a ton of points in the fourth quarter. They've given up a lot of points. Now, we can sit here and pretend, well, you know what? That's on Vic Fangio. That's not on Matt Nagy. I'm sorry. If you are the head coach, you have to manage the entire team. And if you are not keeping your defense off the field, if you are not doing the right things to keep them fresh, if you are struggling early in the game and that makes the defense fold at the end of the game, it's not good enough.
Well, I'm hardly giving them a pass. No, I'm saying I'm balancing what happened at the end of the game, which was worth criticizing to me, with being fair to say, hey, you know what, they did have some evidence of coaching in the third quarter when they scored three touchdowns. They adjusted
fair
at
enough.
Halftime.
Fair enough. I mean, again, it was close but not good enough. That's fair enough.
Right.
312-644-6767, and he didn't seem to like the criticism in the post game. He didn't. That is the first time we've seen kind of. I understand. The guy is it's steaming hot on the sideline, and he's standing there, and he's frustrated, and he's no longer a genius. He's back to playoff status, and it's got to be frustrating to get up there and answer questions about the clear mistakes he made as a play caller.
Well, yes.
And he doesn't want to be second-guessed at that point. And it was the first time he saw a little football coach in him. A little bit
That's
of
good.
A, and you know
I'm
what?
I'm okay with that.
And they had the same thing from Adam Gase. Adam Gase on the other sideline. We don't talk about how the other coach is doing or what's happening. He didn't want to get any questions about
his quarterback.
About whether or not his quarterback, Tannehill, would
That's
be ready
the profession.
Next week.
I'm okay with
That's
that because if Matt Nagy is going to be genuine and being affable and open and transparent, let's be just as honest when you're upset because he was probably mad at the officials. He was probably mad at his own team for some reason. And he's probably, most of all, Molly, mad at himself.
Yeah, you would think so because there were plenty of reasons to be. 312-644-6767. Let's start with Billy. Billy's in Rockford. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Billy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? When the Bears got the ball at the 10-yard line last possession, was there not 30, 40 seconds left on the clock and they clocked it one timeout?
Well, they were backed up, yes. But you know what? The biggest problem with that series was not taking the timeout when you could have saved 20 seconds and gotten the ball back
earlier.
With a minute to go. With a little bit earlier. Because where they got the ball, I understood when they're standing there at the 7-yard line and you're taking a knee because you're 93 yards away and you have 34 seconds on the clock. I get that. But it didn't have to be 34 seconds on the clock, and maybe you wouldn't have been at the 7.
Let's try Ryan. He's at O'Hare. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I thought the Bears played tough. I really like what I see out there. I think both our losses are on the head coach, and when it comes to crunch time, I think he's made poor decisions, you know. I think in Green Bay on 3rd and 2, we threw a pass play, was incomplete, and then we kick a field goal. I mean, 6 points ain't going to do nothing against the great Aaron Rodgers, you know. You get one more first down in that game, and it's over. You got to run the ball on 3rd down. If you don't get it on 3rd down, you run it on 4th down. And then yesterday against Miami, you know, how do you settle for a 50-plus yard kick in
Crazy.
Overtime? You got to get creative, like you said. Got to go for another better opportunity. Set your kicker up better.
Yeah, Ryan, you're right on it. I mean, I think that's what David wrote today in the Tribune. That's the point of it. Is that Matt Nagy? You want to be you. Don't be that you when you're late in a game. You got to not lose your whatever nerve, verve, whatever way you want to choose it, to use it. And I get it. You know, they had a couple of big runs, and the running back goes to the sideline to drink some water, and then they try to run a couple times without Jordan Howard, who has been carrying the team on his back at that point. And then when he comes back in, they give him the ball on 3rd and 5. I mean, you've got to throw the ball there. You've got to throw the ball there, and he gets nothing.
Dig into your deep well resource of
thousands of plays.
Yes, exactly.
You know, even do your end around with Taylor Gabriel. That gets you 3 yards, right?
Or get the ball to Taylor
now
Gabriel.
Now you're kicking a 50-yard field goal.
He admits seemed to have this special connection. Why not try him again?
Yeah, 53 yards for a game winner. Again, the problem with that is when you get overly conservative and when you run a play on for a 53-yard field goal, you're giving up the ball, okay? Hey, Matt. They get the ball. If your kicker can't kick a 53-yard field goal, guess what? They're going to kick a field goal. And that's exactly what happened. So it's hard not to point the finger where it belongs on Mr. National Media.
That said, Cody Parkey, pretty good from 50-plus. But you don't want to put him in a situation that's any more difficult than it needs to be. And the coaches are supposed to put their guys in better situations, and they just didn't do that.
Let's try Frank. Frank's in Lakeview. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to go a different direction. I mean, I got a lot of plays I could talk about, but I got two comments about the broadcast and a question for David. Fox's broadcasts are driving me crazy, and it's not just yesterday. They never talk about the people. They never talk about what's going on with the periphery. You know, like why did this guy miss the tackle, or who missed the tackle, or who was the defender on that play who screwed up? They never call out people's names. And then the other thing that drives me nuts is that they seem to have made a decision with a replay where they just don't show as many replays as they used to. And that's very, you know, you don't see everything that's going on the first time through. You want to see who messed up and who, or who did really well or who made that block or whatever. And then, so those two things are, I think, very frustrating. Last night when I was watching the New England game, you know, it was just like a whole different thing. Channel 2 or 5 or whatever did a really wonderful, you know, job with those things. Well, with the replay anyway, did a wonderful job. My question is, do they listen to you? I mean, do you write a letter or anything? Is there any reason to, other than just, like, I did turn the radio on and just messed with the delay, and that was, and I got used to that, and that was fine. And that was, you know, those guys are a lot better.
Yeah, you can pause your TV and then the delay is gone, and then you can watch it with those guys.
With Jeff and Tom.
Yeah, and they'll break it down for you, and Tom does an unbelievable job. Yeah,
yesterday's crew included Greg Jennings,
yes,
former Packer receiver.
I thought he did well.
He was complimentary to the Bears.
I thought he was fine.
I thought he was pretty good and insightful.
I thought when he talked about catching the ball and not letting the ball cross your eyes, and I mean, I thought there were a lot of points he made that were pretty good. Now, he's not going to sit there and talk about the defenders. That's not his area of expertise. And I thought he had some good comments.
Gottlieb being on the sideline was a bit
bizarre.
Bizarre. Yeah,
so weird.
Strange.
If I never
see or hear Doug Gottlieb ever again, I will be so happy.
Doug Gottlieb is phenomenal on college basketball.
Yes.
On college basketball, he is just fantastic, and he has great insights. You know, him sitting with some fans and then his microphone, he fell, I don't know what the hell that was.
At first he had the sport coat on. Then he came back just to the shirt. I was waiting for him to come back in just like the tank top.
Yeah.
Well, when the game started, it kind of reminded me where the Bears really are compared to how we think they are in the city. Because you got the worst broadcast. The play-by-play guy, I've never heard of him in my life. Yeah. I didn't know who that guy was.
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Yeah. It was just, again, because we know people, it was slightly distracting to see Doug Gottlieb on the sideline. I was like, it was out of context for me, and it took me a few minutes. And I like him. I like him on college basketball in particular.
I like his opinions. I think he's a pretty good host, I didn't see him in that role.
It's just weird.
It was out of context. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did like Greg Jennings.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Kyle Long, and he's
pretty
talking
honest
about the weather. And, listen, extreme conditions are difficult for people, okay? Extreme conditions, whether it's way too hot or way too cold. Believe it or not, when you're playing in the way too cold, you have the exact same sort of body reaction, the same sort of meltdown. They get all hotted up. You got so much warmth on you, so many things. You have the same thing that happens to people in the heat. you can wilt down as the game goes on and all the rest of it. So that will be an advantage for the Bears as they get to the end of the season.
Problem is, they won't be in as good a situation at the end of the season because of what happened yesterday.
There you go. That's exactly right.
Yesterday was such a pivotal game, and I think going into it, to me, it established the course of the season because if you win, and today we're talking about a 4-1 Bears team ready to host the Patriots in first place, you have a lot different perspective than when you lose to a team that was injured, playing its backup, and you know you gave up 541 yards. We can talk about Matt Nagy, and we have. We can talk about the offense, and we will. That defense let the Bears down.
I can't believe we've gone this far into the show without talking about that Leonard Floyd penalty. And again, there's a lot of people very upset about the officiating. The Bears were penalized 6 times for 58 yards and the Dolphins 7 times for, what is that? Is that 67 yards?
Leonard Floyd had 2 penalties. Are you talking about the WWE?
I'm talking about the WWE. Okay. And I want to talk about that for a second. I was waiting to – he had 2 penalties, both of which I think could be disputed calls. And I'm surprised that Dustin in particular – his favorite player involved in a couple of negative plays. We haven't heard from Dustin about this. And I want to say this, David. The WWE play, all right, was that Danny Amendola who catches a pass and has to get to the yard, has to get to the marker, and he's got his head down and he's driving his legs and he is trying to get and
right.
And he's going for that first down. And in order to prevent that, I mean, here's my thought. Blow your whistle when he's stopped like that,
even if
he's driving he's driving his legs. Just blow your whistle, because otherwise you got to pick him up and throw him down like a rag doll to prevent him getting the first down. That, to me, was bad officiating. And then I get it. You can't pick a guy up and throw him down. 5 years ago, you could do that and everybody would laugh. But you're no longer allowed to do it. And it's a personal foul and it costs you 15. But when a guy's got his head down and he's driving, but he's no longer moving forward, are you supposed to let him sneak around the side of you and fall over the marker?
I have to admit,
get a first down. That peeved me.
My first reaction was dumb penalty. My first reaction was, you can't do that. You have to have more discipline. And then you watch the replay, and then I'm like, what else is he supposed to
That's
do?
That's what I kept coming back to.
Because the receiver never stopped. So, okay, and how about last night, which made our point? Tom Brady against the Chiefs. The rookie Chiefs defensive lineman, his name escapes me, wraps up Tom Brady. And he thinks because he gets called for roughing the passer in today's NFL, he lets go of him. What happens? Tom Brady escapes and scores a touchdown.
Right.
So if you're Leonard Floyd, I get it. While you, he may have been exaggerated the motion and throwing him to the ground may not have been totally necessary, but you're fighting and scrapping and clawing and trying not to let go of this guy.
And the penalty on, I don't know what they call that penalty. Is that the slapping of the helmet?
He barely touched him.
Is that technically roughing the passer?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't it. He's got his hand. The guy's rearing back to throw the ball. He's trying to block the pass. He's got his hand up, and on the follow-through, he may have slapped the front of his helmet.
He grazed his helmet.
He said in the postgame that he didn't even touch him. Now, maybe he did graze him, but that was one of the weakest penalties I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I thought Leonard Floyd was badly done doing that game, Dustin. I don't care what you think about it.
Well, the WWF thing was, that's about the most physical thing he's done since he's been a member of the Bears.
You must have liked that,
so,
in a way.
Congratulations.
You like that he showed a little spine?
No, I don't. No? I mean, the wrong time. I like that. Now I know that at least he kind of sort of has it in him, but at that point I also thought that the offensive player was kind of defenseless, and if you can't pick up,
stop driving for the first down.
I could pick him up.
He was churning his legs like he was a fullback, trying to get the extra yard.
He was desperate to get the extra yard. You're supposed to let him go or let him fall down to the left forward.
Just pick him up. If he would have just picked him up off his feet, which he was clearly able to do, then that would have been enough. He didn't need to slant. It's just, again, a guy, he's a track athlete trying to impersonate a football player. He doesn't know how to play the game of football. And yes, he was not done right on that call. No. It was a phantom whiff. The Cubs batter in the loss of 163 was hit by the pitch as much as Leonard Floyd hit that guy in the helmet. So that was weak.
Leonard Floyd was actually called for catcher interference on that play.
There you go.
312-644-6767 is the number. Let's get to the phone lines. Leonard is on the south side. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, Leonard.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
I know we have a in my opinion, a top side defense, but I would like to see a tweak in the Green Bay comeback, the game yesterday, and also you know Tom Brady's going to do it, these quick dink and dump passes that get the ball out, which negates your pass rush. Could you get Bigsby or somebody to ask Fangio, why don't our corners come up and press, bump and run, to give the pass rush more time to actually get to the quarterback and get sacked?
Fair enough question. I think the Bears don't want to do that because they feel like in the past, at least up until yesterday, their pass rush was good enough to where they didn't have to put their corners in that situation because that's a high-risk situation. You don't want to give your corners you don't want to expose them to more danger than necessary. So if you can play a little bit off the receiver, you can play more zone coverage, frankly, you're going to be better off in the long run.
Another guy who hurt him in that game was Nick O'Leary, who is the grandson of one Jack Nicklaus.
How about that?
How weird is that?
That was great trivia.
And you know what? Once they said that, I'm looking at the guy like, oh, God, he looks like Jack. It was so weird.
He walks
weird.
Like Jack.
It was just so strange. It was so out of context, and I found it so amusing. And the guy had the game of his life.
He was the guy that you felt like Osweiler trusted. You know,
yeah.
And up until the fourth quarter, there was only a couple receivers that he did trust.
Amendola and him. And then, obviously, the kid went crazy.
Albert Wilson went crazy.
Oh, my God.
Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com.
Let's try Andy. He's in Naperville. Good morning, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Two things about Jordan Howard.
Okay.
Number one, you cannot fumble the ball on the 1 yard line.
No.
You just can't do it.
It seemed like he got tripped and then he was falling forward and someone just hit him and the ball came out. But you're right. I mean, that's inexcusable.
But here's the second thing. He gets 39 yards on 2 carries in the overtime.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why is he not in on the next carry?
He was getting water on the sideline. He was gassed.
That's,
I don't know.
That's not that hard to believe.
I mean,
those are
happens.
Two really important runs.
Exactly.
There were long runs.
Yep.
It was hot. It was overtime. I'm giving him a pass on that one.
Well, I'm giving him a pass, but I'm still kind of confused as to why you couldn't call a pass play in those final three downs.
I didn't give anybody an excuse there.
You're giving
I'm not
a
giving
pass.
A pass there. I think you should have called a pass there.
You think the coach is a nice guy, as do I.
The coach is
Lovely
a nice guy. The coach,
Lovely
you
guy.
Can be a nice
no
guy
question.
And still call a bad game when it counts most, and that's what happened yesterday.
I think he should have worn a hat instead of just the visor.
I don't know. You think he was a little bit
– a hat would have helped there.
Out in the sun too long?
I'm worried that he may have scarred his skull. Mark is on the road. Good
hey,
morning,
Mark.
Yeah, guys, I was just commenting that – early in the season, before season started, Matt Nagy, you know, told us how he was going to be the smash mouth football. We're going to make those first downs when it's third and short and whatever. And I think in both of our losses so far to Green Bay, of course, and this one, well, that didn't happen. And I kind of want to relate it to, I think, the Cubs a little bit, where we've forgotten how to play small ball. We don't understand. We look for that long ball all the time. And I think that's what's happening in our football. It's exciting. It's fan exciting. Don't get me wrong. But we've forgotten how to play smash mouth football.
I don't know that I agree with that.
They went for it on fourth down. They're what? They're 2 of 3 for the year?
On fourth down conversions?
2 of 5 on the year, something like that. They missed 3 and made 2. They failed a fourth down conversion.
Hey, on 3rd and 4. At the Dolphin 35 with 2 minutes to go, 2 minutes, 10 seconds to go in overtime, they ran Jordan Howard for no gain.
No,
that was small ball.
And
you didn't do it.
That's what leads to the 53.
That's where you want. I am the magical play caller. I can go abracadabra.
Hey, we need 5 yards here. How about that? How about
figure
we got to get 5 yards? Well, if he gets sacked, hey, listen.
Moving pocket.
Yes. Just throw a short pass.
Run the pick play.
Run the pick play. Get another penalty. Let's try Ricky. He's on the road. Run the pick play.
Hey, Ricky.
Hi, Ricky.
Hey, good morning, guys. This might be a painful analogy, but all the conversation today is talking about Nagy's play calling being conservative in overtime and Trubisky's bad interception and a fumble by Howard. This is reminiscent, though. The defense right now shouldn't have slept last night, okay? It's reminiscent of everybody complained about Steve Bartman, but if Alex Gonzalez can handle a one-hop ground ball double play. So this conversation should all be focused on the defense. If I'd have told you Trubisky's going to have 3 touchdowns, 300 yards passing, Kyle Fuller's going to have
Two picks.
Kyle Fuller's going to have two picks. He can't catch a cold. You would have bet the house that meant the Bears won. So this that game yesterday is all on the defense. I'm sorry. End of discussion.
Thanks, Ricky.
You think Cub fans are having a hard time this month? That was the third Cub reference in this Bears loss in the last hour. I did not think of Bartman yesterday when I was watching the Bears.
No. But I do think we are, you know, the defense is where they lost the game.
Points a good one. 541 yards, Molly.
Oh, my God. I mean,
Brock Osweiler, 380, career high.
Brock Osweiler?
He didn't practice all week.
Listen, when that was announced that he was playing, I immediately thought, like, oh, my God, you know, what was I thinking? Why did I think it was going to go the other way?
You know what I was thinking? Cutler could probably give them a better chance to win than Brock Osweiler.
Sure. Yeah. But, I mean, again, this is a stationary target. This is for a pass rush like the Bears, the ferocious pass rush. This is a guy that you know exactly where he's going to be in the pocket.
Are you willing to give Khalil Mack a little bit of a pass because of the ankle injury? And
absolutely.
I think they devoted a lot of blockers to try to make sure he wasn't going to dominate that game.
Listen, Khalil Mack is he's in a position of supreme authority as far as the Bears are concerned. Anything that happened to Khalil Mack, anything that he doesn't do, is because of other people and other reasons. It's never on Khalil Mack. You will never hear me blame Khalil Mack for anything other than not including me in his Hall of Fame acceptance speech. That is it. I will only scrutinize that speech. He is a phenomenal player, and he obviously was injured in that game, and that cost the Bears a lot. But they game planned to stop Khalil Mack, and they did a good job of it. Where the hell was everybody else? And I thought Akeem played a pretty decent game.
Akeem Hicks played pretty well.
But Roquan Smith
had 13 tackles.
Where were the rest? Roquan played well.
Yeah.
Secondary, cleaned up a lot.
A little disappointing effort at times. Kyle Fuller had the two picks, but you need more consistency. Eddie Jackson, what are you doing?
Prince got hurt again. Yeah. Prince pulled that hammy again. That is not a good hammy to pull.
No.
When a guy comes back from a hammy and pulls the hammy again, that's going to be a long time, man. That's not.
Especially with.
Prince will not be there for Tom Brady. I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Ah, that's an offense that scored 43 last night when they needed to.
Mullion Haw, 312-644-6767. It's a victory Monday without the victory at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.